It's always so good to worship in the Lord's house with the family of God. And it's great to have some of our children here with us worshiping together. Before I get into the Word of God, I want to take an opportunity to do two things. First of all, to announce that we have three deacons emeritus, and I want to let you know who they are. One is a new one, the other two have already been, but we want to let you know again. We have from the Chinese congregation, William Chung. He's a deacon emeritus. We also have Ong Jin Wu. He has been, he's there. So you see, I'm giving you these names so that if you need some help, you know, they're there. No, just joking, but certainly they have been such servants. And our newest one is Mr. Bobby Moon. He's our newest deacon emeritus. The other thing I want to do is we need to vote on 14 new members to CBC. And some of them you met in our Easter service when they were baptized. And then we have transferring members. I'm going to ask if you are here to stand as I read your name, and then we'll vote on receiving you as new members in CBC. First, the Blessed family, Joe and Karina and Stella and Philip. Would you guys? There they are. They are our new members here. Also, Tomei and Francis Housel. They're here. And also Bentley Chung. Where are you? If you're here, would you stand? She's also transferring in. Also, along with them, Yan Ji Tan, Mei Huan Wolf, King Xiao, Ji Zhao, or Jenny Chen, Caroline Wei, Evita Leo, and Alexis Chan. I'm going to ask if you would receive these 14 members into the CBC role. Would you say yay?
Yay.
Okay. Nays? Okay. Please be seated. Thank you. You are so welcomed into the membership of CBC. Those of you that are visiting, if you have been here for a little while, if you have been here a little while and you want to be a part of the membership of CBC, call our office, fill out a form, and we'll do whatever is needed to do so. There are a lot of benefits, spiritually, definitely, but also even on a different level. If you have gone to a school that our convention owns, I believe we own 18 of them, like Rice, like Baylor University and so forth, and HBU, you get a big scholarship just because you are members of CBC. Would you join me in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the word? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you so much for the family that is in this church. Lord God, we pray that you speak to our hearts as we have gone through and are finishing the book of Philippians. Would you speak to us in ways that only you can, Lord? Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The great philosopher Pascal, he wrote this and he said this, man's greatness lies in his power of thought. And then President John F. Kennedy wrote, a man may die, nations may rise and fall, but an idea lives on. Now, we have been going through the book of Philippians, and last week we talked about the things that we need to do if we want to live this kind of life that God wants for us. We talked about how we need to stand firm on the things that he's been teaching us, on the Word of God, on the things that are so precious to who we are as Christians. We talked about how not fighting with each other and eliminating conflict in the body of Christ. Because when we do that, well, we can't live the lives that God wants. And then we talked about rejoicing and making choices so that our lives, our innards, can be joyful no matter what. And we also talked about how we need not to worry, but leaving everything before the Lord, before the throne of grace and in prayer. And then Paul goes to these two verses. It's almost like he's trying to tie them all together. And he says, finally, brothers and sisters. You know, when he says that, when you say something like that, you know, this is it. Now, you learn all this stuff. Now this is what you need to do. Finally. So, today I entitle the message, the power of your thoughts. In 1789, a bunch of guys in wigs and funny-looking clothes got together, and they put their ideas together. And they penned what we call today the Constitution of the United States. And for over 200 years, we have lived according to it. It's made our nation great. And it's made our nation a benefit and a plus to the whole world because they put their ideas together. Thoughts. In 1837, another man by the name of Charles Darwin, he wrote The Inception of Evolutionary Theory. He began during that year. And ever since then, not just our country, but the whole world has been transformed. Now people think that there is no God. People think that we have come from monkeys. People think all kinds of thoughts. And piggybacking on Charles Darwin in 1849, Karl Marx began with this idea of evolutionary inception, and he wrote the Communist Manifesto. Why? Because the people are not created by God. They're not that valuable at all. And so as a result, a third of the world in the 20th century were enslaved by this ideology. Millions and tens of millions in China alone, well more than 50 million people were killed systematically because of this idea. See, ideas matter. Your thoughts matter. They matter more than the nuclear bomb. Finally, National Socialism came out of all that too. What we call it Nazism. And that was based upon scientific racism and anti-Semitism. And so as a result, World War II broke out and all kinds of horrific things happened. Ideas matter. Your thoughts matter. They're more powerful than anything else. And the sad thing about it today is there are not a whole lot of thinking being done anymore. But the Word of God tells us that we need to do that. Let me go, first of all, as we look into this passage, about the importance of your mind. I think it's important that as you read here, the word there says, think. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such thing. That word think in the Greek word is actually a verb that is an imperative. It is not just, well, think about it, you know, not like that. It is an imperative, meaning it is a command by the Almighty God that we need to think. And the word there is not just think, you know, like a thought comes to mind. It is think about it, turn it around. In fact, the Greek word logistesti is the word that means that. It is something that you have to take it, turn it, evaluate it, you know, memorize it, meditate upon it. That's what it's talking about. So Paul is telling the people that you need to use the mind because your mind is so important. In fact, throughout the Bible, you can find that God is always challenging his people to think. In Isaiah 1:18, he says, come now, let us reason together. God says to his people through Isaiah, come now, let's reason together. And it, later on in the New Testament, we find many times in Ephesians and Romans, it talks about how the mind is being renewed. So our mind is so important. We are told that only 10% of our minds is being used. You know, the other 90%, who knows where it's going. And in fact, when you look at our society today, are we really thinking at all? We're really more feeling more than anything else. The ideas that are coming out, the things you're watching on television, the things that you're hearing, they more elicit the emotions of a man. You know, it's like, oh my, I feel so good. You don't know why, you just feel so good. And in fact, in churches today, oftentimes people are coming to church not to think or learn and grow. We want to come to feel. The music is so important to us. I love the worship this morning. You know what? That's important because emotions is a part of who we are, but that's not all that we are. And let me tell you, how we think determines our emotions too, don't it? I think it's interesting that anytime you want to bring an idea, you have something going on, and you get 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, and you give it to them, you say, give me some feedback. And I guarantee you, if you have 10 people, you have 10 different feedbacks. You know, the perspectives are all different. Why? It's the same thing, right? Why? Because our minds and our hearts and our essence have been transformed according to how we are thinking, what kind of thoughts we have received growing up. If we grew up in a particular family, if we grew up in a particular culture, if we grew up in a particular anything whatsoever, it taints who we are because the mind is so important. Think about such things, the Apostle Paul said. Listen, guys, he says, I want you to know something. If you want to live that life of joy that we're talking about, if you want to live that life of peace that we've been talking about, you have to do something with all these things. Gather more together and remember the importance of your mind. It matters. Don't allow your mind to be mushed. Don't allow it to become something that just receives some kind of stimulus. And the next thing you know, you got some emotional, you know, actions happening. Don't let that happen. That is not what a Christian who wants to live the Christian life that God intends need to do. So importance of the mind, you got to know, you got to protect your mind. Now let's go to the second part, which is going to be a little bit long here. The choices that you're going to input. How are you going to put it in? Luke 24, 45 says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. All right, this is so important. All right, here we are. We understand that our minds, God has given it to us. But you know that our minds are really sin affected. You think about some people who do some heinous things, you know, terrible crimes against humanity. How can they do such a thing? How could they do such a thing? You know? Well, it's because their minds have been so affected by sin and whatever that sin has done to them. In fact, the Bible tells us about our minds. Our minds are so, well, sin-filled. Some of the verses that we find, when you look into the Bible, you just turn to the mind and you'll find that. We find that in Ephesians 4, we are told that our minds are ignorant. Now you say that to people, they get offended. You're ignorant. Well, maybe they are. But you know what? They get offended because how dare you say I'm ignorant? But the Bible says it, you know? Well, our minds are ignorant because we do not know. We do not understand. We have not been able to perceive the things of God. Our minds are ignorant in sin. It goes on. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about our minds being foolish. Man, you say that to somebody, and they're going to get mad. How dare you call me a fool, you know? But your mind is so, that is such a foolish idea as you say that. And you say, how dare you say that? Mind your own business, right? We don't tolerate that. But the Bible says it. The Bible says that our minds are foolish. And it goes on. 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul adds on some more in chapter 4. Says our minds are blinded. Blinded. When we can't see something, you know, it's blinded. We literally cannot see truth. We cannot see what is there. The Bible talks about our minds in those ways. And so when Paul talks about here, he says, you know, you have to think about such things. Our minds have to be in a place where we can think about such things because we're blinded. And another passage in Romans 1, well, this one is really offensive if you tell people. Romans 1 says our minds are depraved. It is depraved. You know what depravity is? Depravity is like you take something and you twist it all out, you know? You take a delicious dinner, you turn it into a poisonous thing. You take something that's beautiful, you turn it into ugly. That's depravity. And the Bible says, Romans 1, that our minds are depraved. These are the things that our minds are. So we think we're so smart. Unless our minds have been transformed. That's why the Apostle Paul writes that we have been transformed into a new creation. We literally need not a better mind, but a new mind, something that's totally different. And that's what our mind is. And so in that passage here that we read, in verse 8, the Apostle Paul begins to tell us the things that we have to think about. And you can only do that if you're a God-transformed person, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Because if you have a mind that is old, sinful, and depraved, you can't do it. But if your mind has been transformed by the Spirit of the living God, if your mind has been changed because of a newness in your salvation, then you can do that. So this is what he says, all right? These are the things that you need to put on, the choices that you put into your mind. He begins and he says, you know what? Whatever is true. Now, truth is something that is difficult for a lot of people. What is true? The only place you're going to find truth in this world, let me tell you, the only place you're going to find truth is in the Word of God. And so when people are not reading the Word of God, or they don't believe in the Word of God, or they say, oh, that's just a Christian thing, it's garbage, then they're not going to discover truth. When you hear things and you watch things out in the media and this and that, what you're getting is not truth. What you're getting is feelings, feelings of truth. It feels so good. You know, last week we had our combined Sunday school class, and we talked about the movie The Shack and the ideology that is behind that. And it's such a feel-good movie, you know? It's such a feel-good book. It's such a feel-good thing to tell people about what's inside a shack. But the thing is, it's not truth. It's just emotional. It makes people feel good about things. You know, there's no judgment at all. God never judges. God never punishes. You know, it feels so good because if I'm a sinner, I'm like, ooh, praise God. You know, I'm not going to be judged. Not that I have to do anything. Not that I have to respond to the gospel at all, but that I'm just going to be like that. So feel good. That's not good. Whatever is true, the only place you and I are going to find truth, absolute truth, is in the Word of God. So if we don't know the Word of God, then how are we going to know truth? And how are we going to think about truth if we don't know? We just make it up, you know, some theologian here, some philosopher there, some pastor there. Look at some of these celebrity pastors out there. Some of them are awesome, great. Some of them are awful. It's their message. They give this message of slight truth, and we cling on to it because our emotions are drawn to that. So Paul said, no, your mind must be filled with truth. And you and I have to think about what is truth and what is not. Then he goes on, he says, whatever is noble, whatever is noble, what is noble? You know, something that is noble, worthy. You know what it means, noble? The word here, the Greek word actually, it means worthy of worship. We worship nobilities in a sense, right? There's kings and queens, and you know, you bow down to them. That's what, whatever is noble, what is worthy of worship? But the only thing that's worthy of worship is the Almighty God and the things that he does. And we worship him, we thank him for what he does. We have to think about what is worthy of worship. Think about those things. And then he goes on, whatever is right. The word here, right, in the Greek word is the word meaning righteous, righteous. Whatever is righteous, whatever is holy, what is good about it. Now, you're thinking about, well, okay, I can think about those things, but there's a lot of other things in life. Yes, there is. There are many other things in life. But Paul says, think about these things. It makes a difference. It will determine how you're going to live out your life. What is righteous? And then it goes on and says, whatever is pure. Interesting, the word pure here is the word hagnos. It literally means morally pure. Not just pure, not just like water purity. It literally means what is morally pure. And so when we're thinking about what is morally pure, that means we have to stay away from many other things that are not morally pure. And there are things all over the place. Now, as I'm going through the list, I want to tell you what it's telling me anyway. It's telling me this. There's a lot of stuff I better stay away from. There's a lot of movies I better not watch. You say, well, there's no harm. It's just entertainment and so on and so forth. Yes, it may be entertainment, but there's a lot of stuff here that's not pure. There's a lot of stuff here that's not righteous. You know, one of the things that we do once in a while, we'll get a Redbox movie. And we think it may be good, and we'll watch it, and we have absolutely no problem with shutting it down and just sending it back and returning it. Because if it's got a whole bunch of curse words, I don't need to hear this stuff constantly, you know? It's just disgusting. I don't know why they have to put that in movies. And then the situations there are obviously ungodly and unrighteous. We don't need to see those kind of things. You say, well, Pastor Dan, you are being such a sheltered person. No, I know those things are happening. I know our society is doing those kind of things. I know the millions of people that are cohabitating. I know the divorce rates. I know all these kind of things that are going there. But I don't have to think about those things constantly. I don't have to bring it into my living room and watch it all the time. I don't have to open sites that would talk about these things, even if it's not the terrible things. See, because the Apostle Paul said, you want to live a happy life. You want to live a joyful life. You want to live a peaceful life. There are things you and I have to do. And you wonder why, oh, I can't sleep at night. I wonder why I'm always complaining, how I'm always unhappy about things. Maybe it's the thing that we're thinking about all the time. It goes on. He says, whatever is lovely, you can imagine what that is. Whatever is admirable. There are people that do things that are very admirable. Think about those. Read stories that are really, really admirable. People that, you know, sacrifice of themselves, made things happen, you know, whatever it is. Think about those. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, this is a very exhaustive list. If I had a lot of time, I'd go every category and describe those things and talk about those things. These are the input things that the Apostle Paul is talking about that we need to put into our system. And when we do, our lives are different. That's what they are. You know, we love to do certain things. We love to get into gossip. We love to talk about bad things. We love to talk about this and that, you know. Man, why don't we talk about good things? Why don't we talk about things that are happening that are really good? Why don't we talk about possibilities? Why don't we talk about stories that people have told us? You know, this is excellent. When we pray for people, let's not talk about their dirty laundry, how terrible things are, their families, and on and on. Let's not complain about the church all day long. How about talk about good things? You know, when you're around people like that, you're happy people. You're a joyful person. That doesn't mean you're not involved in the things of reality. Sometimes they say, you know, Pastor Dan, you're just talking about nonsense. No, it's not. It is talking about really, really good things. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Whatever things are like that, think about those things. Finally, interesting here. He says, talks about whatever you have learned or received or heard of me, he says, put it into practice. See, when we begin to think those ways, when we begin to put those things into our lives, we begin to act. And I put the picture up here, and you know who they are. If you don't, this is Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. You know, I thought about it. I looked around. I tried to find, you know, people that we would love to emulate. I got to tell you, I'm not finding a lot lately. You have to go back to Jim and Elizabeth Elliot. You got to go back to people like Hudson Taylor. You got to go back to these people 100 years ago, you know, or 50 years ago. There's not a lot of people today that we would say, we want to emulate these people. Yes, we want to emulate, you know, Billy Graham. Of course we do. We want to emulate people that have taken these kind of thoughts, these kinds of ideas, and then lived it out. Find people like that. And if you are a person that would do those things, you would be a person like that too. Can you imagine one day if somebody says, you know what, I want to emulate this person that was at CBC. I really want to become like him or her. Wouldn't that be a great and awesome thing? Now, you're not going to know it. Probably you're not going to be around anymore usually. But wouldn't that be a great thing? But that's what happens when we begin to think like that. When we begin to allow the ideas of our minds, you know, to drive who we are, when we begin to take steps and take actions and do things that come out. You know, the Bible is very clear, from the depths of our heart, you know, that's who we are. The things come out. Remember Jesus talked about how, you know, from the well, you know, in your heart, it's like a well, the water coming out. That's how we are. It's what we are in, like inside, that's what we are going to be outside. But you know, we live in a society where, you know, outside is so much more important than the inside. We just don't really care about truth. I remember talking to one person. He said, truth doesn't matter. It's perception that matters. Really, really. Our society, that is true. It's how they perceive us. Oh, no. But before the Almighty God, it is always who we are. And when we allowed our minds to soak in these things, that which is truthful, that which is pure, that which is righteous, all these things, when we allow our minds to soak in these things, not just think about it once in a blue moon, but soak it in, allow it, and you know what, then the actions of our lives will be different. And people are going to say, I want to follow that person. I want to emulate what he was like. I want to do what he did. I want to at least try, because that is such a good example. The Apostle Paul was like that. As we finish off the book of Philippians, I hope you go back to it and read it again and again and begin to discover the phenomenal things that God has in mind for you and for me. But not only just talk about it, but really to live it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much that you have given us an opportunity and an ability, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to live out our lives in such a way that we can be joyful, full of your peace, and not only that, to make a difference in this world. Father, I pray that you will help us, the CBC members, people in this church, to be able to live out such a life. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. And Lord God, by your grace, that we will live that life out. In Jesus' name.